and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020.
Bitcoin is still flat at 10,308, and Ethereum is down just a little bit to 324. I mean, essentially, we're at that meme with the dude poking the Ethereum in Bitcoin. I think everyone wants it to move, but it's kind of holding steady all week.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave. Platform. All right, let's start first with DeFi Pulse. So they fixed a bug and announced on Twitter yesterday that they had an undetected issue that had led to substantial misreporting of the value held in DeFi protocols.
Yeah, and there were some rumblings. People on Reddit were essentially reporting, I'd say, the last couple of nights that their TVL numbers had just stopped moving. So they had locked them about at 9 billion and they hadn't moved. This should make everyone nervous. Without being too hyperbolic, this is really bad. Everything. It's funny. DeFi is really cool because everything in DeFi is open source. That's both a hampering to DeFi. Like if you're Uniswap and SushiSwap comes out and eats your lunch, you maybe are seriously rethinking your how open source you are. But what's really cool about it is that at the end of the day, smart contracts are incredibly difficult to write correctly, and having more eyes on your code is really, really good. And so if you're Uniswap or Balancer, you want as many people looking at your code as possible. And you want to set up bug bounty programs to reward people for finding bugs and stuff like that. So open source in these types of situations for DeFi in general is really good. DeFi Pulse is I mean, you can't say anything about it. Like they're one of the most important aggregators of data in the DeFi community right now. And for them to have closed source, to not be open sourcing their protocol is incredibly dangerous, especially when they do stuff like this. I don't trust either of these numbers. I mean, one of the things I always say on this podcast is like, look at the magnitude. This was a shift in magnitude. And that to me is super concerning. It's not a big one. It was $4 billion. It was from like it was a full order of magnitude shift essentially, in some ways. So I'm not super happy with it. I think we need to see a real open source group come out and start reporting what they view as the TVLs. A lot of people have access to this data, so it'll be a matter of time. I think this is kind of I don't know if I'd say the beginning of the end for DeFi Pulse, but I certainly think a lot of people who are on the technical side will have who already had some hesitations about DeFi Pulse will now have even more hesitations about it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And just so you guys know, the numbers went from 9.1 billion up to 13.2 billion. That's the entire DeFi market TVL.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a big bug.
Yeah. Next, half of DeFi yield farmers can't read smart contracts, a new survey says. That's a survey coming from CoinGecko, that yield farmers are relying on auditors to monitor the security of the projects they join, but they're still making a killing. 90% of the survey respondents said they achieved a 500% or more yield.
I wouldn't worry about if you fall into this category, I wouldn't stress too much about some parts of this. Like at the end of the day, I think I already said this, like writing smart contracts is incredibly difficult. Even for seasoned longtime engineers, writing code that you deploy once and has to run correctly forever, lest people lose money, is very, very, very difficult. And so even professional engineers, even if you can read the code, that doesn't necessarily mean that it is doing what you think it is. Like there are tons of exploits in smart contracts that are super subtle, and anyone just reading it, even if you're a good engineer, even if you're like a novice engineer or a hobby engineer, you wouldn't notice it. So relying on audits is the correct choice here. I mean, obviously some projects, like one of the issues is that some projects can't get audited because they don't have money, and that's where the risk reward comes in. Like people are making 500% returns because they're taking chances on something like Sushi, which then goes nuts, and then maybe they're losing. You make a 10,000% reward. Return on Sushi, but you lose a couple thousand, or you lose 100% of your investment into something like whatever that rug pull was the other, or the full rug pull was last week. or many of them. And so you kind of balance it out. So you have to, I think farmers are baking in the risk into their calculations about how, what they're investing in and how they're diversifying. And I think that the right choice for pretty much everyone is to rely on audits, because it is just so hard to read smart contracts correctly.
Yeah. All right. So the Bermuda Stock Exchange announced last week that hashtag NASDAQ crypto index exchange traded fund, which is
the most intentionally confusing thing in the entire history intentionally confusing thing. So the hashtags NASDAQ crypto index ETF
has been admitted to trade on its platform. It's the first one.
Is Bermuda, do we not have copyright treaties with them that people can just put NASDAQ and stuff? I don't know. So there's two parts of this. One is for a long time, you know, everyone is super excited about ETFs hitting the U.S. market, so that with crypto ETFs hitting the U.S. market, so that people essentially can put their IRA money into cryptos. That's like what this has been about the entire time. I'd say most, if we go back a year, most crypto enthusiasts looked and said, hey, when we get the first ETF, and everyone was waiting for the ETF to hit, we all thought it was going to hit last year. We're like, that's going to be when retail investors really get in crypto. That's when we go to the moon with Bitcoin. At this point, I'm not so sure. Like, I think it's easy enough for everyone to get into crypto. I think maybe you'll see it more when you do see index funds hitting. Like, index funds control so much money in the U.S. stock market that when you see them hitting, you will potentially see, if you see them adding crypto, then maybe you'll see more movement. But I don't know. I'm not super, I'm a little jaded at this point about everyone getting on board the ETF bandwagon.
All right. So next, Bloomberg said that DeFi mania has pushed crypto to become the top performing asset class for 2020, beating stocks, bonds, gold, etc.
God, I'm so upset we didn't name the podcast hashtag DeFi mania. I don't know. I have nothing else to add. Yes, crypto has done very well, especially DeFi assets. I think that this is a little bit misleading, because obviously Dash hasn't performed as well as stocks have. And even this is like, so you have to look at like very particular asset classes and very particular parts of it. And then, you know, stocks have just been on a just insane tear. So this kind of maybe like determines, like, if they did this week versus 2 weeks ago, I don't know, there's a big difference. But pretty much, I think this is kind of a dumb kind of article, because at the end of the day, pretty much everything has been in a mania. Like, you can't say there's been a DeFi mania. There's been a categorical, across the board financial markets mania. Everything has done well, with, I guess, the exception of oil, but even oil hasn't done all that badly over the summer. So, thank you for the clickbait, Bloomberg, but hashtag DeFi mania.
All right. So let's touch briefly on Avalanche token. That's AVAX token.
Yeah. So Avalanche is a token that went out. They're building a new protocol. They're building a cross blockchain protocol. That's sort of the trend right now. There's, you know, between Polkadot and a few others, there's like 10 or 15 different companies all kind of going after this cross chain. I think it's really before we get into Avalanche, I will comment on cross chain protocols. The cross chain protocols are making a bet that we have not picked a winner in the space of smart contract protocols. So, you know, I tend to think of crypto in like sort of four different buckets. I tend to think of, you have your store of value, you have your smart contract programmable, you have your privacy coin, and then you have your everyday spending coin. And those are all very different kind of coins. Like, you're going to have very different properties. You know, an everyday spending coin might be a little bit more inflationary. Obviously, store of value, you want it to be deflationary. You want your smart contract to be incredibly powerful with low times. I would make the argument most of those slots have been filled at this point. I think we're still figuring out what the cash one's going to be, but you know, most of those have been filled. So I actually am not super big on these cross-chain protocols. I think it's really interesting. I think it should be fun, but I don't honestly think it's the biggest thing. I don't think it's as powerful as Ethereum by itself is. And I wish more people were putting time into better mechanisms for scaling Ethereum versus these cross-chain solutions. But the interesting part about Avalanche was that they did an IOU token, which shot up in price and is actually, as now that they've launched the protocol, is way more valuable than their protocol token itself. So that's the interesting thing here. The IOU pattern is a really common one for people launching cross chain. And I think that there's just I hope some economist pick this up and does a little exploration of the supply and demand curves on this, because I think this is more a comment on the exchanges, like small low liquidity exchanges, and how they mess with crypto prices versus actual sentiment on AVAX.
All right. Well, that does it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily. Check us out on Twitter @TheDeFiDaily.
Have a good one.